Auto Line After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, passion for excellence. Chevrolet, the all-new Chevrolet Cruze. Get used to more. And by Dow Automotive Systems, innovations for clean powertrain solutions.
This is Autoline After Hours with Peter DiLorenzo, episode 92 for Thursday, February 24th, 2011. High Mileage Follies.
Watch Autoline After Hours live at AutolineDetroit.tv every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 2400 hours GMT. You can subscribe to this podcast for free by searching for Autoline After Hours in the iTunes Store.
Hey, we're back, and this is a special, very special edition of Autoline After Hours because John is in cyberspace. We'll tune in shortly. I'm with Scott Burgess, the Detroit News. Scott, how are you?
Good. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. And Colonel Jim Hall from the West Pole.
The West Pole, yeah.
It's good to have you, Jim. And John McElroy is out audio-wise in California, right, John?
I'm in San Diego right now because Mazda is introducing the new Mazda 5.
Now, sort of
that's why.
Now, is this the new one with the newer styling, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, it's more to it than that, you know. But you're essentially right, Peter. This is the new style, what they call Nagare styling. This is the first Mazda with that kind of styling, and indicated that they're going to jettison this look.
Yeah, I think this is the first and the last in one, is what I understand. This is the one that's sort of the supermodel of minivans, because you can see its ribs.
That's a good way to put it, Jim.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, John, what's the price of gas out there? Because we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I couldn't tell you offhand. We have not been to any gas stations today.
Okay.
But as you guys know, gasoline's always more expensive in California than in most other places in the country. And I was talking to some of the people who live out here, and they said it's jumped like 10 cents a gallon in the last couple of days.
Well, we all know that the jump in the last few days is just pure BS. But I don't think there's any illusion about where gas is going. You know, I'm thinking $4 per gallon pretty soon.
If you look at the reserves, though, in the States, we have a fair amount of gas. We're awash in gasoline right now. So
right.
The price rise is effectively just, you know, it's rationalization for raising the price.
Yeah, it's the typical oil company Bush League bullshit. We've all seen it.
Does anybody know if oil closed the day and in the U.S. exchanges above 100 bucks today?
I don't think it
did. No, it closed down.
It did, yeah.
So
down $3, I think, from
so
opening.
Let's you know, Scott, you just talked about this a couple weeks ago. You talked about the Focus, the Cruze, and the Elantra, didn't you?
Yeah. Probably the three best compact cars out there.
Right. So here we are in 08. We weren't prepared for $4 per gallon, and it was a disaster. Which car company do you think is best positioned to take advantage of this? And, John, I'm going to ask you that, too, after Scott says it.
I think Hyundai and Chevy are in the best position of that. The Cruze is at 42, which bests everybody else with that eco version. Hyundai's at 40 all the way around. Hyundai's been on a pretty good hot streak as of late. And
what about the Focus? That's going to be at 40.
The Focus is going to be at 40 with the, it's like with the special edition.
Mm-hmm. Which is an automatic, and the 42 from GM is with a manual.
And that's one of the big things that Ford likes to point out. I think the only problem I have with the Focus, I think it's the best car out of the group.
Yeah.
I think it's the most expensive car out of the group, too. And I don't know how much that segment, that group of consumers, are going to move into paying 22, 24, $1,000. That would be my only concern. Hyundai comes in nice with that really low price.
Yeah, well, this is the big shift, though. This is when America discovers that the mainstream American car is now the C-Class.
And I will beg to disagree.
Oh, what is it then?
I think it's D's, because what you're going to see is hyper fuel efficient D's as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the D's have made a massive shift to four cylinders out of
you just mean getting, like the Fusion,
like the Fusion, like the next generation Malibu, those things, the mid-sized cars, plain and simply. And a couple of things are going on. One, real world fuel economy. It's tough to find a C car. It's tough to find a C car with a six-speed automatic. They have them, but they are the exceptions now more than the rules. And you're going to find some of the D cars getting eight-speed autos 2013, 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
So real-world fuel economy, you're going to see the difference is far closer than you imagine. Because some of those transmissions, those eight-speeds, won't package in a C because vehicle width.
Yeah. John, what do you think?
Well, look, I'd say, you know, Hyundai is been smart touting that they're the highest fuel economy manufacturer. If I were Hyundai, I'd really hammer those ads right now. You know, make sure everybody hears about it. Honda's always been strong in fuel economy. I think they'll do well. But the one thing that I'll say is, even though Ford's got some good stuff going, Chevrolet has got the Volt. And if we all hit the panic button, and, you know, the public will do that. If you're right, Peter, and it goes to $4 a gallon, who knows? On TV this morning, some people were talking $5 a gallon. But if there's a real panic and everyone says, oh, I got to go check out the electric car, and then find out they can't buy one because they can't afford it or there's none available, they'll buy Chevy Cruises and Sonics instead.
Yeah, but remember,
and I think Nissan's going to have an advantage with the Leaf, too. It'll pull people into the showroom.
Well, and the Volt also, like the Leaf, have very, very advantageous leases. So if you can qualify for that, you're going to find a lot of people will still make a move, I think, into a Volt if they can get a car. The Volt's $350 a month, okay, because the 7500 goes immediately to the lessor.
That's a close down. What is that, 36
36 months? Month, yeah. Yep. And it's $349 for the Leaf for the same period.
Yeah, but the Leaf is MIA.
Right, and the Leaf, but the thing is getting people in the showroom, like John said.
Yeah.
You know, that they work there.
I do think, even though the focus is pricey, I think design is going to be very compelling, and I think the focus is the best-looking C car.
Subjective, though, because remember, a lot of customers want a car that's, it's the people that buy Brooks Brothers suits. They want something tailored, but they don't want to stand out. And for that, the Cruze looks pretty good. The Elantra, really, the Elantra and the Focus are the two cars in the segment that are pushing sort of, they're the stretch design cars, both of them.
Well, I think they're going to hint at where the whole industry is going with design. It's going to be...
I think that's why the Cruze will do well, because it's not in your face. Anecdotally, I've heard from a number of people that they really love the way the Focus looks, but it's a little too much, and they would buy a Cruze if they were buying between the two cars. And I think that people don't want to have a car with more personality
than
them.
No, some do and some don't. That's the point. But if you look historically, the cars that sell in higher numbers tend to be a little more generic cars, and it's because you're appealing to this broad swath of people that don't have the same idea of an extremely emotive car.
Well, I think...
See, the problem is we all like cars like that.
I think we're forgetting, though, that the Focus sedan is probably going to do better than people think.
I think it's better looking. Yeah. I would buy the hatchback if I were buying the two, because I like hatchbacks, and I think the hatchback on the Focus looks great. But I think the sedan looks better. It's a really nice-looking car.
Yeah, agreed.
So, John, what else is on your mind today now that you've been out in California?
Lots of stuff, you know, the gas prices that we've just been talking about. Also, from the motor racing, this rookie who came out of nowhere, just turned 20 years old, put the Wood Brothers back in the victory circle.
Oh, yeah.
That's
pretty awesome.
That's a huge story. Very gratifying.
Trevor Bayne?
Yeah.
Yep.
Trevor Bayne, and then the bigger story about that is the Wood Brothers are the nicest, classiest people in all of motorsport. I've gotten to know Eddie and Len Wood over the last year, and it was just the greatest story. And the race itself was bad.
Yep.
The racing, the cautions, and everything else. But that kid hung tough in the top 10 all day, and he didn't back into it. He won the race.
He did win it.
It was a fabulous story.
not a scratch on the car.
Yeah.
That's what's so amazing. Everybody else was, you know, all banged up, scratched.
Looked like
scorched,
a walking wounded.
And the best thing, too, was that it was painted in the classic Wood Brothers.
The Motorcraft.
The David Pearson, when they had all their victories. And the kid reminds me of David Pearson in his demeanor and his on-track style of driving. And he's a natural. So it was just a very satisfying result. Of course, on the other end of the spectrum, John, the Bahrain Grand Prix has been canceled.
Yeah, well, you know, as we talked, it didn't seem proper to bring in the millionaire jet set to pop in for a good weekend when everyone wants to burn down the country.
Well, plus Bernie says he was hoping it was going to blow over. You know, and I'm like, well, okay, this is sort of a lack of understanding what's really going on, but oh, I hope it blows over. More likely blows up.
So, John, while you're here, you know what time it is. It's 15 after the hour. Would you like to say something about the cruise?
Well, you know, I don't have the script in front of me. I do know a bunch of things by heart, though. It's Chevrolet.com/cruise. That's C-R-U-Z-E.
You are correct, and, sir.
And it gets better fuel economy than a number of its major competitors. And, Focus? No, not Focus. Which one, Peter?
What, the Cruise gets better than...
Corolla Civic.
Yeah.
Corolla Civic.
Civic Corolla and the current Focus.
Right.
Not the next gen Focus.
Not the new Focus.
The Focus you can buy right now.
Yeah.
And that's right.
As, you know, as Scott says, I mean, the Chevy Cruze has a, you know, initially I thought it was a boring design, but when you see them, it's tautly rendered and it's, you know, pleasing to a wide range of people.
And Kono in the new Hawaii 5.0 drives one.
Yeah.
And I tell you, that is enough for me.
So, yeah, that's our
over the product
15
placement.
Minutes after the hour. Chevy, thank you to Chevy for, and Joel, wherever you are, thanks, buddy. So what else,
hey,
Jen?
Another topic, too, Peter. I don't know if you guys saw this Supreme Court case that Mazda lost, unanimous decision.
Because their car didn't have equipment that wasn't required.
Correct. I don't know. What do you think, Jim? Isn't this a real danger for the industry?
I think it's absolutely a travesty and appalling.
This should have everybody at every car company concerned. I'm sure they are. But the issue is it means they're going to burn a lot of money in a lot of cases that are really frivolous law cases, suits. I'm sorry. They are frivolous. I hate using the phrase. But, you know, when is it going to happen? The car doesn't have ABS or it doesn't have a rear camera. So I'm going to sue for it. I mean, please.
I know, but the danger is the Supreme Court ruled unanimously. That's a shocker.
There was no judgment.
Regulation.
What they said was the case could, it was not that kind of a ruling, John. The U.S. Supreme Court said that the case can go to trial in a local court.
Correct.
It was not a judgment against Mazda. It was not a judgment. But it said that it is okay to take the case to the next level as a lawsuit.
Right, but I mean, again, every appellate court up to now has said, you can't sue these guys. They met all the government regulations. And the Supreme Court said, no, it doesn't matter if you meet the regulations, you can sue.
Well, maybe by transference, they could find people that used to be sitting in the House and Senate because they didn't mandate this stuff. I mean, they must have some liability in it, you would think, right?
I just think it's Bush League bullshit.
It's disconcerting at the very least because it's a lot of legal money that companies are going to have to do to go out.
What else is on your mind, John? I know you're not going to be on forever, but.
No, I'm not because I got to get ready actually to go to dinner here. But
Is Mazda having a dinner? Where at?
just here in the hotel.
Bring a baggy dog with you with anything that people don't eat at your table. A doggy bag, I'm sorry.
John, are you staying out for the Oscars?
No, I'm coming home crack of dawn tomorrow. I leave the hotel at 4:25 a.m.
You may not come in. It's supposed to get a lot of snow tonight.
But now, they're not talking that much.
Yeah. Well, I know.
They've downgraded
it. There's a big storm that's going to hit San Diego tomorrow, so I got to get out of here.
And we're going to go over 30 inches for the month of February.
Which is an all-time record,
I believe. Which is an all-time record. And we're already Approaching 30 inches over our normal total for the season.
Yep.
Just shoot me, .com.
Hashtag.
Well, John, hey, guys, I'm going to sign off because I do got to get ready here, but I just wanted to call in because I love the show that much.
Well, thanks, John. We're glad to have you visit, and you'll be back on Autoline Daily on Monday, and then you'll be back here a week from tonight, right?
Yep. Oh, you won't be back for Daily tomorrow. That's right.
Okay.
You can't do that from
the Have fun, John.
Apparently not.
Okay. Talk to you guys.
See you, John.
Later.
See ya.
Okay. Just do it right into the iPhone.
You'd think that would work.
So you had a nice review of the new 300, but which I thought was a really good review. But the most interesting thing to me about that review is how heavy the C is, and how if you're a smart shopper for the 300. Look at the V6.
Trenton V6, absolutely.
I would get the V6. I really think so. There's two reasons why. It is up to 600 pounds difference.
With all-wheel drive?
All-wheel drive in the V8.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of weight, and you feel it when you drive that car.
They do a rear drive 300C, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's about 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But the weight is noticeable. The new V6, the Pentastar, is a really good engine.
That's a very good, and you know, you think about it, right now they're building one variant at the plant. What's it?
Well, the most interesting thing about the 300 to me is when I first of all, they never should have put those tease photos out.
Agreed.
You have no idea what the car looks like. Mm-hmm. Then we were at the design out at Chrysler a few Autoline after hours ago, and you only appreciate the 300 in the flesh. But you really don't appreciate it until you see it on the road to see the difference.
I had one in front of me with M plates and no badges on it, solid black, and it was a C. I'm coming up to it at night, it's getting dark, and I see the double set of LED taillights. And it's like, from a distance, it was, what is that?
Well, like I think, Scott, you said in your review, it's like the 300 was tailored, you know, instead of off the rack. It was...
It's a much more refined car. I think that the other issue I have is that you can get... at $35,000, I think that car is a great deal. Where you get luxury package, that safety tech, I think it's called.
On the touring, on the mid-range model, right?
The mid-range model. And it's a really nice package. I think it comes out to maybe 35 or 36. To me, that feels like a value. When you start paying $44,000 for a 300,
that's where it goes off the rails.
You're like, I couldn't recommend that.
And we should kudos to the true believers at Chrysler who are responsible for that car long before the new regime got there. Yep. So all of you people take a bow. You did a great job on that car.
You're right, but in person it comes across, and pictures don't capture the presence the car has. They really don't. The car's tailored. I mean, the styling on it is very, very nicely done. Surfacing is as good as anything Chrysler's done since the crazy period.
And those cloth seats are horrible. This is one of those things where they come back and they go, well, it tested really well. And you're like, how could that test very well? It's just... It's the only time you'd buy a new car and put seat covers on it.
Remember, testing has a tendency to find sort of the lowest common denominator of pleasant.
Right.
It does. Because you want these nice big numbers. We want a lot of people to like it.
Well, you know, and I've been writing about that for 11 years. Lowest common denominator engineering and thought processes killed Detroit.
Absolutely.
That, you know, is that kind of mentality. Oh, yeah, this appeals to the broad spectrum of people.
The whole idea is they wanted cars everybody liked. And the thing is, if everybody likes your car, it means few people love it. And if they don't love it, it's hard to get somebody that likes your car to give you a bunch of dead presidents for it. It doesn't work well.
This just in, mediocrity isn't bliss. It's taken Detroit two bankruptcies to figure that out.
Yep.
Jim, how about this? I just don't know what to say about BMW. And their alternative hybrids are going to be called the I series. I just find that to be...
Sub-brand.
Lowercase
I with a big number after it. Yeah.
I think it's just tedious. Really? I mean, couldn't they come up with anything else?
You mean as far as the name goes?
Well, just the eye thing.
Here's the they're boxed in for a couple of reasons. One, the cars still had to be branded as BMWs. They knew that because they'll trade on equity. And remember, a lot of this is around CO2 and mobility restrictions in some big European cities. They need to have an entry.
But this isn't what they're going to call the new smaller BMWs that they're bringing here that are off the Mini platform, are they?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. No, those are still regular BMWs. The I's are going to be for cars that are hybrids or pure electrics or
alternative
stuff.
Now, do they have an arrangement with Apple, or is Apple lawyers firing up the wagons right
now?
Not
just that. I mean, I don't know if you know this. The original name for the Mercedes Sport Utility Vehicle that's built in Vance was going to be the M320. And BMW said, excuse me, you can't use that. We use M.
So they call it the ML. ML.
Yeah. So I doesn't... Infiniti use that, and in Europe, I believe you'll find it used by Hyundai.
Yeah, the
i20, i30, i18. So, you know, this is that whole thing about there's no such thing as a bad name for a good car, except maybe Monkey Pus is probably pushing it. Conversely, it's not a bad name for a car. It's just going to be an interesting vehicle to see how people take to it as being a BMW. In a way, I always thought the advantage that BMW had was they could use Mini for this in the market.
Yeah, and that's why I don't understand why they're coming out with BMWs based on the Mini platform for this market, because I thought, well, wait a minute, I thought that's why you had Mini. So what are you going to do with these little front-wheel drive BMWs?
Well, I think they need to do front-wheel drive BMWs. I'll tell you why.
Well, I get it. I mean, you wave the flag for rear-wheel drive and... Doesn't matter. You're just the first guy shot who puts his head up over the wall.
And the thing is that there's some front-drive cars that are fun to drive, and one of them is the Mini. So they know how to make it work. And I believe it's very easy to tailor a front-wheel drive driving experience so you'd have something that would feel like a BMW. I think that's possible.
Okay, so they're going to charge $5,000 more for a front-wheel drive BMW over the comparable Mini?
I don't think you're going to be talking about comparable Mini because you're talking about platforms in the same way that the 5 Series and the 7 Series are the same platform. Those are two different cars to drive. They really come across as very different vehicles.
Yeah.
Conversely, I rather suspect you're going to see the BMWs are going to use BMW larger displacement engines. So they'll get things like the Hams Hall inline 4, which is a great 4-cylinder gasoline engine. We don't get it in the States. We will when they start doing the turbo 4s. But I think you'll see those engines go in there and the sub 2-liter stuff go in the Minis.
Okay.
Speaking about Minis, what about the Rocketman?
Oh, I love the Rocketman.
And it's a mini.
Well, it goes back to the original size of the original Mini, which when you see an original Mini on the street and you see the current Mini, it's just like, whoa.
Well, you don't know how big can a Mini get before it's not a Mini anymore.
Well, I think we're already there with the Countryman.
Yeah, I think the Countryman can work, but it works with it by getting different buyers into Mini that wanted a Mini, but they won't. But I think it doesn't go any bigger than that. You know, the Paceman they showed as a concept in Detroit, it's a production vehicle, is coming out. And I thought it was kind of cool because they put hips on it. It had a little more attitude.
But they're not going to call it the Paceman.
Who knows what they're going to call it? I mean, you know, my Mini had a foot of snow over it. I got some photos of it, and somebody said, why not call it the Snowman? I mean, the whole man thing is a little crazy, all right?
Yeah, the Rocket Man concept.
Clubman. Countryman.
I'll do apologies to Rick Mears, who was the Rocket Man.
Yes.
On Ovals, the Oval Meister. You know, while we take a break here, we need to talk about another sponsor, Dow Automotive Systems. And Dow's breakthrough Aerify, AERIFY, particulate filter has low back pressure, a smaller package size, and offers regulation compliance at lower cost, clearly for diesels. Learn more about Dow Aerify at DowAerify.com. That's spelled AERIFY. For all those diesels that we wish we could get here.
Yeah, I got to say, I like diesels, but I'm not a diesel aficionado. I like them, but I think right now I'd rather have a good auto cycle engine, which big sections of Europe are doing now because they brought diesel fuel and gasoline into parity.
How about this week, Navistar, and with the OPOC engine?
Yep.
I'm just fascinated by that. I exchanged emails with Randy Bernard today, the head of IndyCar, mm-hmm. and I would just, you know, there's got to be a way to invite special engineering exercises to the Speedway.
Agreed.
And they need to put that, and the people behind the OPOC engine, they need to do a race version.
I'll tell you another series that logically would lend itself to it is ALMS.
Yeah.
Because ALMS has...
Well, ALMS embraces everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you could see a better fit there as far as getting it to happen. Because, let's face it, change involving the open wheel series that used to be known as CART and IndyCar, that's been a tough one. Because they got used to... I mean, they were doing spec cars for a while. And well, spec cars are
open. Spec cars up to 2012.
I know.
And in 2012, they're at least going to have different body packages.
Yeah.
That's going to be more interesting than I thought it was going to be. So, and then let's see, the Porsche's leader said we're going to have a new car every year from now until 2018. Let's see, what do they have?
Another 911.
Well, they've got the new 911 coming.
Yep. Then they will have to do all the permutations off of it.
Right.
So they'll have to do a Targa.
That's not what he's talking about. That's just
are
counts
you,
for
you
one.
Sure?
Yeah. Then they've got their version of the Q5.
Yep.
The Cajun.
They also have a new Boxster in the pipeline and a new Cayman maybe. That one is the one that's sort of soft and squishy. They have the electric. I have no doubt they're going to build the electric.
They have a hybrid Panamera.
Right, which is already announced.
Geneva, yeah. And which could be pretty cool, I must admit, is the coupe version of the Panamera.
Yeah, the GT car.
Short wheelbase.
Yep.
That could be very cool.
No argument. Panamera is an amazing vehicle.
Even though the thing is ungainly and, you know.
You know when you're driving, you don't notice.
Well, no, yeah. You know what I'm going to say is when you drive a Panamera, you always back it in. So when you get out, you only look at the front, the 7/8 front. But I will say this, you know, when you drive the thing, it's just like, God, these guys did it again.
Yep.
I mean, it's just amazing. You drive the Panamera, it's just like, wow.
The interesting thing is that the idea of a GT off the Panamera, shorter wheelbase, 2+2 or two-seater, to me is sort of channeling a postmodern 928.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. And if they do it right, it probably is going to look great, too.
Conversely, the other guys that have the magic of building any sports car well, that make a car you and I both love, introduced the world's largest Volvo P1800 ES.
Oh, my God, that thing is just atrocious.
You're speaking, of course, about the Ferrari FF, which means Ferrari 4, because it's the first four.
Ben, I don't know if you can do a quick search for the Ferrari FF.
It's on the Ferrari.com website.
Yeah, it looks like, you're right, the Volvo.
It's the first photo they released of it was one that was sort of a front three-quarter, where you looked at it, it's like, wow, yeah, okay. This replaces the 612 Scaglietti, which is their large 2+2 car.
Which I never had a problem with. I liked it for what it was.
It grew on me. When I first saw it, I had some problems with it. But it grew on me. The thing is that they have a dead-on side view of a red one. And, boy, is it! It just sort of screams, I am a Volvo.
It's just nasty. And then they had the video. The first video they showed of it was in winter testing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, really, guys? And, but, yeah, I know it's going to be fast and everything, but... To me, it's just a little bit of crack in Ferrari's armor. It's just like they've stayed focused, and it's just, to me, it's just...
Yep. But it's a crack in their armor on a couple of fronts, though. That's what gets me about it. You know, and I'm trying to figure out, who are they feeling pressure from? Why did they think they have to do this?
I don't know.
From Lamborghini?
Don't you have to evolve, though? Don't you have to kind of...
Yeah, you do. But couldn't they done? I mean, look at what Porsche did with the Panamera. Wouldn't that drive them to say, well, let's try something else with the Scaglietti. Let's do something a little different. And it's not even as elegant as the bread van.
Well, the truth is, I think the problem is the Drogo bread van. Whoa. No, the problem is I think they should have had a stylist do this one. I really do. It looked like it just happened.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really does. We'll put a scoop on the side. Oh, we'll put the Scuderia logo there. And I'm sure there are people out there that think it looks really cool. That's fine.
Oh, the design is subjective. I had some readers write in saying I was, you know, full of shit.
But, you know, it's to me, it's...
that
it's,
happens every day, so it's like, well, if you think you're special out there, you're not. I get that all day long.
But Ferrari has always been so focused. And there are people that make the same criticism about the Panamera that it's Porsche losing focus.
Well, I was there. I can't get past the Cayenne. But then I drove the Panamera, and I said, okay, yeah, whatever, you guys did it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like looking at it. And I would if I had one, I'd back it.
How is it sold?
Very, very well.
Extremely successful.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is the 6, which you'd expect to be sort of like the 6 in some ways is one of the most pleasant versions of the car.
I like the 6. I drove the 6. It's got the stop start. I thought it was just really well done.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is when Ferrari does a crossover or something, that's when you know that they've lost it.
Right. Well, I mean, Sergio is going to do a Maserati version of what, the Durango or the Grand Cherokee?
I can accept that. I actually can. On a couple of levels. Remember the platform that vehicle comes off of.
I get that, but is it going to have a Maserati motor in it?
I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't.
Yeah.
Now, but Maserati motors are going to be changing, too. You're going to see 12-cylinder Ferraris are probably going to start to go away and get replaced by 10s. The 8s are probably going to go to turbo 6s.
Well,
we're talking over the next...
While we're talking about it, I got to tell you, I saw the photo of the Lancia version of the 200. Let me just say that when you start with a piece of shit and you put a Lancia grill on it, it's still a piece of shit. I'm sorry. I was just like, really? They're going to buy that in Europe? I don't think so.
Well,
And I know launches don't sell big volumes, but come on, really?
But are they going to get the current 200, or is that being done as sort of a, here's what we're thinking about doing? Because remember, we had a Lancia Delta as a Chrysler at the Detroit show last year.
What they're going to show at Geneva is the current 200 with the Lancia.
Right, but I think the production car is the next generation car, which is in 20 months.
So why are they showing it?
The same reason they showed us a Lancia Delta with a Chrysler grill in it, maybe.
No.
It's that whole idea of getting everybody ready for cross-pollinization. Because you know about It's called the Fiat Fremont. Do you know this?
Not offhand. The name sounds familiar.
The Fiat Fremont is...
Oh, wait, no, that's the hotel in San Francisco. Never mind.
It's a Dodge Journey that is decked out as a Ferrari, or a Fiat, sorry.
See, it's already starting. Yeah.
But the thing is, there's no product like that in the Fiat range. So for them, it's an incremental product. It's something to fill a hole in their line. Because it's a segment that does have some movement in Europe. There are people that want those sort of more-than-wagon kind of vehicles. So I can understand it. I'm hoping they're putting diesels in it, because that's a segment that still is preferring diesels to autocycle engines.
So, Scott, what else is on your mind this week besides the Oscars, I know?
Well, I haven't really thought about the Oscars that much.
Oh, okay.
Not Anne Hathaway?
Well, it's interesting to follow all of this stuff coming out of GM, that they report all these billions in profits and their stock goes down. And
well, I think, boy, this oil, this hand-wringing over Libya is just disrupting everything at this point. I mean, GM and Ford were down.
Plus, do you really think the street understands the auto industry at all? Seriously. Do you think they understand it?
I don't think they do.
They don't have a clue. I mean, these are still people that use the moron's metric of market share.
Yeah, they have to have more market share.
You want more market share? Fine. Give your cars away. I always thought the real idea is you want profitability per car. Isn't that a silly idea?
And I thought it was funny, you know, when this stuff comes over the internet, you know, when the GM earnings came out, it's just like, GM does really great. And then another posting is, I forget which news source is saying, GM disappoints with earnings. And it's just like, you know, it's just amazing.
You can't win for losing. I mean, like we talked about earlier, I think that if gas is going to go up and it's going to hit $4 or $5 a gallon over the next 6-8 months, they're in a much better position. I think GM's in a good position.
Ford's in a better position.
And I think Ford is in a good position. And so I don't think there'll be as much sting.
The problem is that what they'll do is you'll see a sort of a slump in the highly profitable vehicles, parenthesis pickup trucks, which have been doing relatively well recently. But remember, a lot of the pickup truck market is pickup truck by necessity. The sort of I don't need one, but I want one pickup buyer has not been in.
They're gone. Well.
They are gone.
They're long gone.
Yeah.
They're long gone. The urban cowboy pickup buyers, they were gone in 08.
Right.
After that spike.
Yeah.
January's numbers were led by trucks. I mean,
exactly.
Trucks.
That's my point. So what you see is the concept of profitability for the quarter take a shift until they can start getting volumes up on some of the small cars and then get some price for them, too. Because a lot of it's getting price out of your vehicle.
Now, if gas goes up, do those cars all go up in price then?
At the retail level, you know they will. If a dealer has 10 people that want a Cruise Eco and the guy has 3 cars in stock, trust me, they're going to go up in price.
I think the transaction price, absolutely. You know, I don't know. When we had $4 a gallon in 08, it was a spike. But I have no illusions that 4 is going to be the new bottom at some point. I really don't.
Yeah, at some point, I think it may not be as soon as some people think and not as far away as others think, because the truth is, oil, don't even get into gasoline, but oil is a commodity. And if you think about it, back in 08, the world told the oil producers, I'm sorry, $150 a barrel is too much. And what happens, they find alternative sources. They change usage. They shift consumption because oil is still a commodity. So it's affected by demand issues. And when you raise the price too much on a commodity, you kick yourself for the next whatever the period is. We're awash in gas in the United States, refined product, but you see this reaction in pricing. There'll come a time where there's going to be too much gas sitting around and the price is going to come down. The trend line is going up, Peter. You're absolutely right. And you're right. We said at one time that 2 is the new base, 3 will be the new base, 4 will be the new base. It'll happen.
Yeah.
The question is whether it happens in 2012 or 2013 or 2016. And that needs extraordinary external events to make happen, like Libya.
Yeah, let's hope that the extraordinary external events aren't so extraordinary.
Not as extraordinary as they have been.
Yeah.
I mean, they canceled a Grand Prix for it. You know, and I thought it was going to blow over. I really did. I was getting ready to take my Marquis jet card.
And I heard once that Bernie gets personally $1 million for every Formula One race that runs. No, that's up front before anything else.
That's an old number.
Yeah, I'm sure it's an old number.
It's a million euro now. It is a million euro.
Yeah. So, Scott, what else are you thinking about this week?
Driving the Jaguar XJ right now.
What do you think of that? I'm not a big fan of the way it looks. I just never warmed up to the looks. It really looks like a battleship going down the road, you know, a parade float.
Really sucks in the snow.
Oh, I...
and my guess is they didn't give you one with snow tires, did they?
No, it has snow tires.
Oh, it does.
The first XJ I had with snow tires, I was crossing the Rouge River Bridge, and the front tire came off.
I'm sorry.
It came off the rim, right off the rim. They said that it was a defective snow tire that they had just installed. I had done it a pretty sharp turn on the Rouge River Bridge, which is a straight bridge.
Yeah.
And I really think that it was just...
veering from some imaginary vegetable that was in the road or something?
No, when the tire came off...
That made it turn. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you precipitated
this. The tire pressure monitors work very well. Because it went from fine to zero. It had a big X on the tire. But it just kind of straightened it out and then go look at it, and it's off. I mean, completely off the rim.
Boy.
And the Jaguar service, the one-hour service takes about 3 or 4 hours of sitting on the side of the road waiting for them to come. But this one, the tires have stayed on, fortunately, the whole time I've had it. And because Detroit doesn't plow any streets, they're covered in snow. And so
this is becoming an ersatz plow, using things like the air control dam underneath the car. Yeah.
People have no idea what this winter's been like around here. It's just been...
So it's been fun, but I've gotten it stuck a couple of times when we were shooting some video because it doesn't have the clearance that you really need.
Well, on that note, we're going to talk about one of our sponsors, Bridgestone. And you can see how Bridgestone's third-generation run-flat tires achieve improved performance and better ride comfort over the competition at BridgestoneTire.com. And actually, I'm driving a 6-speed Audi S4 this week with, I believe, Bridgestone winter tires on it. The thing is just awesome.
They were not Bridgestone winter tires on the Jag.
No, they weren't. See, well,
there you go.
Ben, how about if we run rapid fire?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
The pad of eyes.
Ben, thank you very much. Let's do the phone call from Cleveland, Ben.
Cleveland.
How did they get AARP to sponsor?
Good evening, men. This is Youngblood calling from Cleveland, Ohio. After watching last week's double car demolition derby train wreck known as the Daytona 500, I've got a couple of suggestions for NASCAR. First, rather than having two race in pairs to make speed, make each other pull a trailer similar to a figure eight trailer races, or maybe even better yet, race a long bus. At least this way, the driver would have control of his destiny without having to rely on somebody else to help doing the pushing or the pulling to make speed. NASCAR, you'll never get it. Rest in peace. Hello, SCCA World Challenge GT Series. You got my attention, allegiance, and wallet. And finally, Mr. Hull, you're nuts, but I love you, brother.
Whoa.
Later. Bye.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Youngblood.
Cool.
It's the man who knows too much. Okay, we've got Jim Haynes says, whenever anybody shows a video of the Rensen, it always shows a tram running, but it doesn't look like anybody is ever on it. Does anybody ever ride that thing, and who pays for it to run empty? Jim, nobody ever is on the trams. That's the big secret in Detroit.
It's 50 cents. It's the people mover.
Yes.
And it goes in a big circle.
Yes.
That's it.
Some people do ride it, but yes.
It actually gets some usage come auto show time.
Yeah.
It really does, you know, and I have used it to get from the Cobo Center where they have the show to the Rensen or to another hotel that's downtown. Works fine for that. It's the only time I've ever been on the People Mover.
Yeah. Just don't be on it when something goes wrong and you stopped in the middle somewhere. Boy, it's not good. Ray Schaefer says, I was curious to know your thoughts about Porsche's product plans to reach the magic 200,000 units per year worldwide. Look forward to hearing your insight and opinions. Well, you know, we kind of talked about Porsche.
With all the products they're talking about, and some of those have the potential to be pretty high volume, like the Q5.
Yes, and don't forget, and I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago, China.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I can scream all I want about, oh, well, these products are deteriorating their brand image, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're gearing everything to China.
Can you imagine, for China, a long-wheelbase Panamera? I'm not being facetious here, because they're long-wheelbase variants of a lot of cars that are done just for China. I'm not saying it would be a good idea, but, you know, if they're thinking about China and you want some growth, that's probably a way to do it. The idea, though, of Hu Jintao in a long-wheelbase Panamera is a little weird. Sorry.
Well, the long-wheelbase Panamera, the thing's already long enough. I mean, you stretch the thing, oh, my God.
Kim Jong-il.
Ray Schaefer also says, by the way, any chance we'll see you at the Amelia Island Concourse in a few weeks' time? It's always well attended by industry and car hobby. Yeah, I don't know. I might go, but I think John is definitely going. So, Ken Newton, would like your opinion on the NBC report on keyless fobs causing carbon monoxide poisoning on the Today Show, February 17th.
I know, as a matter of fact, you can get carbon monoxide poisoning from the Today Show without a keyless entry fob.
The report focused on Toyota, of course, and showed three separate instances where people left their vehicle running in their garage.
I think there's nine people that have gotten out of their cars, left their car running because they had the fob in their thing and it was a push-button start, and then the car emitted so much carbon monoxide that it killed the person. And
this is not a problem with a keyless fob. This is a problem of not turning the car off.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You have a car running. I could leave my key in the car anyway. What you if these people are not thinking about that, they probably shouldn't be driving, owning cars, or...
But Ken, this guy says, I'm sorry, I feel for those who have experienced tragedy, but to blame the automaker and focus on Toyota, it's, you know, people have to take responsibility. I mean, I know accountability is in short supply.
Within the next 2 years, Ray LaHood will come out with the thing that says, if a car is in park and is idling,
it has to stop.
It has to turn itself off after 5 minutes.
Yeah, people will freeze to death in their cars because of this.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh.
Al from Lake Orion, I'm a GMC Envoy owner with my 2007 getting near 5 years old and 80,000 miles on them. I've been trying to find a replacement for this vehicle. I know that you all have had great things to say about the Explorer, but my research is showing the Jeep Grand Cherokee the best replacement for the GMT 360.
I think there may be some truth to what he says. Replacing the vehicle he's replacing.
Yes.
You know, because obviously he's not used to, it probably isn't looking for stuff that's in a so-called crossover. And that's the thing about the Explorer has this, it is a crossover and it isn't. But dynamically, when you're driving it, it feels more car-like. And the truth is that the Grand Cherokee is a pretty darn nice vehicle.
Al, Jim has straightened you out on that.
Go with Durango.
Yeah, how about Durango?
Well, you know, on pavement, when you're driving on normal roads, the Durango is appreciably different and actually, I think, better for that kind of driving than the Jeep.
Mike D. White asked, what's your opinion of the new Civic? Well, of course, we haven't driven it yet. it's...
What new Civic?
Yeah, the incremental design language of Honda. Now, this is a company that just decided this week to reduce their board from 20 members to 12. I mean,
That's not necessarily a bad idea.
No, I think it's a great idea, but just now they're thinking about that? Yeah. I mean, this company is flailing around, and it's sad to see.
The problem is the Civic, the current Civic, the outgoing Civic, was a car that really caught your attention when it came out in the segment it was in. And I was hoping they were going to do that again. They were going to make a progressive change that would have all their competitors now saying, oh, gosh, a new Civic, we got to figure out what we're going to do. They didn't do it. They went this, what they perceived as being the safe way. It's not safe, not in the segment they're in. The guy who pulled the new Civic was basically Hyundai with the Elantra.
Yeah. Now, Mike D. White also asks, is the Hyundai Elantra Coupe for real, or are the dealers just seeing things? I don't know.
I mean, you know, in a way, there's a sub Elantra coupe. They call it the Veloster.
Yeah.
You know, and how many, there's this philosophical question, how many coupes do you want to put in a showroom? Because they're cars that I think, I love coupes, I really do. But I also know that they're irrelevant from a volume standpoint.
Yeah, we're pushing being cooped out.
Yep.
You know, Dave Sullivan from Auto Pacific asks.
I've heard of that company. They sell soap, don't they?
Yes, they do. Baraxo, they brought Baraxo back. Should GM and Chrysler be required to break down fleet sales while taxpayers still have ownership be required to break down fleet sales by vehicle? I hate to see sales going up when it is just hot air from rental car fleets refurbishing their fleets.
No,
we don't care.
First of all, go look at rental car fleets, and you don't see that many GM products. You see them, but you're seeing a lot more diversity in rental car fleets because basically the guys in the domestics haven't been pursuing it as crazily as they have.
Yeah. Steve Dargill, the next F-150 is going to be all aluminum. Any idea what the fuel economy might be? No.
It'll be better. The fuel economy will be better. And all aluminum is something. I don't think you're going to find this vehicle being all aluminum.
No, and plus 2016, you won't be able to buy a pickup in this country, a light-duty pickup that isn't a hybrid.
Or a four-cylinder 8-speed.
Right.
Sad.
Not necessarily.
It's sad.
No, it isn't. Let's arm wrestle.
007 Mitch W. wants to know what I think about the long-awaited arrival of the Fiat 500. Look, I think it's a cute car. They had no choice. It's the only Fiat they could get here.
Well, it's the only Fiat that they could bring over here that has some sort of a pre-sale on it also, because it's got buzz. And the best part of it is it's a B car that sells for more than B car money. That's what you want to do in that segment.
Yeah, and the big question is what happens when all the first on the block types get one? What do you think, Scott?
I think that it'll do better than Smart, because Smart was not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's a nice car. It's got the... Whatever it is, it's kind of like what you're saying. They can sell it for more than what
it's
worth.
It's a premium small car.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
To me, the question is, are they going to use it as a base to offer more Fiat product in the States? And if they are, what does that mean for Dodge?
Yeah, that's a good question. And then he also says, I was shocked about the new 300C front fascia, how much it looked like the 200. What do you guys think about it looking like more like a poor-selling vehicle?
And when you see it in person, there's nothing about it that says it's a 200.
Yeah, no,
nothing. It is. It's its own car.
J.D. Clough says, was there any reference to the new Chevy Caprice at the auto show? Is it coming or not? There is a performance Chevy coming. There's also a new Impala coming. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, but the Caprice we know is coming. It's the Caprice PPV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike D. White, again, is if Lincoln's new stuff is so great, why didn't they show a cool concept at Detroit? And I will tell you that because they're showing restraint and they're not putting their stuff out there too quickly, too soon, too early.
They realize the problem of over-promising too early when the product doesn't fulfill the
which
promise.
That's the problem. And all these manufacturers do it, and I applaud Lincoln for staying away.
Because the new MKZ is a progressive change. It actually is. You know, specific upper for it. It's the differentiated car, more than the vehicle now.
Jim from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, says, I'd like to know if there's any correlation between winning car or truck of the year and annual sales of that vehicle. Has anybody ever done a study? I don't know. I don't want to get into
awards. He could.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I think it's the car rather than the award.
Alan Andrews in Oregon says the Porsche hybrid with the flywheel, that's the hybrid racer,
right,
may have a secret weapon. When you rotate a running flywheel one dimension, it pushes at right angles. Hold the rotating bicycle wheel while sitting on a bar stool.
Gyroscopic effect.
I was just doing that the other night. My question is this. Is it set up so if the car rotates into a corner, does it act at right angles and function to hold the car level like an anti-sway bar?
No, it's because of the angle that it's at.
Yeah, all I know is that when racing the hybrid, they use it coming out of corners, which is brilliant.
But the effect is asymmetric. You turn right, it's actually working against the vehicle. You turn left because it has to do with the rotational direction of the mass.
Jay Cujos asks, why did the domestics basically overlook the Super Bowl of auto shows with their luxury makers not showing a darn thing new?
At Detroit or Chicago?
Yeah, well, and then he brings up Lincoln. No, Lincoln's being smart for once. The car company's being smart. They're not showing their stuff too early.
Well, you know, that's the philosophy that Chrysler has now adopted.
Right.
We'll show it when we're going to sell it.
They'll show production cars.
Yeah.
Well, my perfect car company would be the one that shows up at a Detroit show. There's been no spy photos. There's been no nothing.
No early release to the media.
And no pre nothing. And it shows up and they take orders. Yeah, it'll be in showrooms in 8 weeks. That's what I want to see.
Yep.
Steve asks, will the next Mustang have as nice an interior as the new Focus without the so-called retro looking and blah, 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 blah? The next Mustang is going to be an interesting thing, Steve. We'll see.
It's still going to have retro feel in the interior, though, but it's going to be reinterpreted.
Frank asks, I think the Veloster is slick looking and that it will do well if it costs $17,000. Your thoughts?
I think the price, and I also think the third door should be on the driver's side.
I agree with you.
But first of all, you know they can build a four-door because they do it right and left-hand drive. So they can do a four-door if they want. They can add the model. Theoretically, they could if they built them here and they had short pull, they could let the customer decide. If you're only going to do one door, I think they did it right on the curbside because it's for getting somebody in the back seat. It's not about me getting my briefcase out.
It's all about me and my briefcase, and that's exactly why I think it should be there.
And that's why you're wrong. You didn't even bring a briefcase in here. Is this your briefcase? You can put this in the passenger seat or in a big center console.
Comment from Glenn. Any news on the MPG for the US-backed Fiat 500? I have not heard anything.
Final. MPG?
They've announced it.
Yeah.
I didn't hear.
What I want to say 34.
It's not.
Oh, right. I did read.
Yeah, they've announced it. It's not a fuel economy car because it's not about fuel economy. That car is about character and personality. Did you see the Gucci edition they're going to have at Geneva?
Yes.
Honestly, red and green stripes below the door, but the seatbelts, Peter, are the red and green Gucci colors.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no. It's pretty cool in a weird way. Yeah. I wouldn't want it. It also has a chrome wind split on the hood, which is one of those things you can think, oh, yeah, okay, that's okay.
Our friend Eric, a.k.a. Rumblestrip, asked, should we start referring to the UAW president Bob King as Bipolar Bob? One minute he's talking about the new era of cooperation and how the strength and health of a union is tied to the success of the auto industry. The next he wants to accuse companies that block or resist unionization as violators of human rights. You know what, Eric? I got nothing good to say about Bob King. I've been writing about him for a while, and I've been warning this industry that this guy is a snake in the grass. So every time he starts talking like Mr. Magnanimous, I'm the friend of the auto industry, I don't buy it for a second. He's not built that way.
This is the year that we're going to see what the union contract comes up.
That's right. Rubber hits the road July and August.
We'll see if the UAW wants to derail any recovery of the Detroit of the U.S. auto industry. We'll see.
Well, we'll see if they understand that the car company's health is partially in their hands or whether it's like, just give us money.
Yeah.
I mean, I want money. I'll be the first to say it, but I don't want to put a company under to get money.
Tree Planner asked, did Chrysler really spend more than $1 billion on the 300 redesign as was reported?
It's on the platform, yes.
If so, they didn't get their money's worth. I disagree. They got their money.
They got theirs, but it also that money also includes that includes the charger in it too.
Yeah,
yeah. So they did, but they got more than you see. And don't I you know, you can't say this enough. Judging the 300 from photos is a bad idea.
Right.
It in person, and the truth is, it's kind of color sensitive.
Yeah, you got to see it in person, and it is color sensitive. Very. Tuck and Roll says, how come the oil companies never get any criticism about the low mileage winter gas versus summer blends? Why can't we get the best mileage blend all year round? This is one of the mysteries of the universe that we don't need.
They have criteria for their fuel they have to do that is an EPA requirement.
Yeah, it's a regional cluster.
Yep.
Basically.
It's when they did the oxygenated fuel,
yeah.
MBTE, and all these other amusing things. It's required by the government. So, you know.
Ron asks, he lives in Atlanta. Have any of you seen the new 9-5 in the streets? We've not seen any down here.
I have not.
I've seen several, as a matter of fact.
Seen several.
And the 9-5 is an interesting car. With the four-cylinder engine and front drive, it's a Saab. It really is a Saab. It's a Saab, okay? And I mean, it's exactly what the car should be. The launch of the car with six-cylinder all-wheel drive models was absurd because they're crazy pricing, and they aren't dynamically what you expect from Saab. The car looks like a Saab more than any Saab has for a long, long time. And the car as a four to me is actually a very nice, very, very nice, great 21st century Saab. I hope there's a 21st century Saab in 2020.
Yeah, and I like the interior, too. The
interior is very good.
Fox in the wilds of Kenora, Ontario, Canada. In an age when car companies fatten their coffers by encouraging the purchase of extra cost add-ons, why haven't they brought back white sidewall tires? Well, I got to tell you, we'll probably see an addition, some addition of the Fiat 500 with white sidewalls.
15-inch white.
The Jolly, okay? The Fiat 500 Jolly, they need to do it.
Yeah.
Rattan seats.
Comment from Imperator. What? Will we ever see a return to the golden age of light sports cars for the masses? Probably. You know, down the road.
Is he talking about like a postmodern Miata?
No, I think he's probably talking about a Super 7. Probably not.
No, not a Super 7, but a postmodern Miata you're going to see.
Yeah. Tim, question for the gang. What's your guys' thoughts on GM selling, making MG vehicles? Could GM SAIC Alliance get as deep as Renault Nissan?
No. The joint ventures in China are very specifically structured, so the deals with SAIC are individually with those companies. There's no cross-pollination.
Okay, Espo, is there going to be a replacement for Ford Ranger of North America? No.
Yeah, it's called an F-150.
Yeah.
It is. It's F-150. But when you talk about the real world and real world fuel economy and the cost of certification and the sales, you can't. There's no market for that vehicle. Although GM apparently is going to be looking at a midsize compact. A midsize pickup.
I think there is real room for a compact pickup.
Yeah, you wrote that, Scott, and I agree with you.
And
there's room for it if you were to protect the pricing of it, but the companies don't do that. The domestics killed their small pickups by having things where you could buy an F-150 with a V8 extended cab for $17,000 in Southern California. Why would you buy a Ranger? Yeah. And they killed them themselves.
No, I agree.
That discipline doesn't exist because of the volumes that they do.
One point last fall, I was looking in the newspaper, you could buy a standard Silverado. Well, they had all the discounts on it. It was like $17,000 or 16 something.
16.8.
It was like, it's almost free.
When how could you make any kind of space in your lineup if you do that with any regularity for a compact pickup? A company that has a full-size pickup with the volume that they do can't do it. Toyota can make it work because they don't have that volume where they have to hyper-discount the vehicle on its own. I'm not talking about the other Toyota problems, but the domestics aren't.
We're almost close to the end, right, Ben? So Dale Leonard in Lakewood, Ohio says a huge lump of coal for Ford for not advertising the Flex. Flex is a great vehicle, tremendous word of mouth on it. You ask any Flex owner, they're thrilled with it. But Ford's got a lot of other things to advertise. So.
I agree with him. But the Flex also had a horrid launch.
Yeah.
Their campaign didn't show the vehicle. It didn't have anybody in the vehicle. It was showing driverless cars going around. So you had no idea about the size. They had nothing to position it with.
Yeah.
And apparently the whole brief that the agency dealt with was some sort of schizophrenic thing. You know, and they made sure the car wasn't going to work, but it was from, as far as I can tell, it was from bad decisions rather than conscientious. Because the Flex, you ask a Flex owner, they love the vehicle.
Yeah. Chuck Jenrich says, why would I buy an electric car when I can get a hybrid for $16,000 less?
Why would you buy a hybrid when you can get a really good gas car?
Yeah, exactly.
You want to take a call, Peter?
Sure. Then we'll wrap it up.
I understand hybrids, too.
Hey, guys, it's Jonathan Brown out in Old Bend, New Jersey.
Jonathan.
Great show. Quick question. Alpha Flussy mid-engine coupe, supposed to show at Geneva, 250 horsepower, turbo 4, 850 kilograms. Is this the direction of sports cars as gas goes to $4 and $5 a gallon in the United States? Will this Alpha make it here? And do you have any inside information on the new Alpha 4C coupe mid-engine? Thank you very much. Always a great show. Take care.
I heard about that concept. I have no idea what
it's a concept.
Yeah,
it's just a
concept.
Yeah, four-seat mid-engine cars are problematic from a size standpoint when you actually have to build them, and they get heavy because, like most mid-engine cars, you have to build them with two firewalls, one in the front, one in the back. You get a long center section of the car, so you have to beef it up because you got the masses on the outside. It wants to beam. Four-seat mid-engine cars are going to be heavier than a four-seat front-engine rear-drive car every
right.
time.
Joseph asks, I remember when the Auto Extremists savaged the 2002 Cadillac Le Mans team. No, I savaged the program. Is there any chance that the new GM will send Cadillac back to racing? And if so, does GM have an engine for a Cadillac Le Mans team to develop? GM is actually racing the Cadillac CTS-V Coupe in the World Challenge, but you will not see Cadillac at Le Mans. That's Corvette.
Yep.
Jim Haynes asks, has anybody driven any standard passenger hybrid car that are fun to drive?
It's a trick question.
Yes.
Because, there are things about some hybrids I find fun because they're involving, where they start gaming them for fuel economy, and they actually get pretty involving. But if you're talking about radical handling cars, nobody makes one like that yet. Mm-hmm. Will the company make one? Yeah. You could say, in a way, I guess...
The CRZ is not bad with the manual transmission.
It's not bad, but the problem with the CRZ is it's such a weak suck hybrid. Well, and now they're doing this all gas CRZ. That's what I love. They're doing a non-hybrid CRZ.
Same mileage.
Well, and probably more fun to drive. So the concept of fun, nobody's done yet. Now, see, Porsche's in a position to do it.
Actually, the CT200H was not a bad car to drive.
I agree. I drove one in Europe, and it was actually kind of fun blasting around. And in a way, you know, it's a glorified Prius from a drivetrain standpoint, but they've tweaked it so it's more responsive. So the answer is yeah, but not a regular car. Nobody's making a fun-to-drive Camry hybrid.
When you have to add it's fun for a hybrid, you're losing some of the fun part, right? It's already disqualified.
Exactly. Well, you know, we've reached the end of this train wreck tonight. I'd like to thank Scott Burgess from the Detroit News. Scott's always good to see you. And Colonel Hall.
Thank you, sir.
Jim. Tune in to Jim tomorrow morning, tomorrow on Autoline Daily, because it's part two of the miniseries.
It's a miniseries.
He'll be reporting from the West Pole.
I may be reporting from
The bunker?
The luxury den here above us at Autoline Tower.
Oh, very
low
nice.
Line tower.
Yeah, because you guys have noticed there is the tower, and you always wonder what's in there. The luxury den is up there. And it turns out, I didn't realize this, and so it's actually for the Autoline Daily Premium subscribers.
Oh, okay. Well, then, you know, I expect to see an eggplant-colored smoking jacket.
That's a tough one.
Okay.
That's a tough one.
But thank you for tuning in. Simon, I know you're listening, so good night wherever you are. And Ben, I think that's it.
Oh, join my Facebook page.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I forgot all that stuff. I'm just blowing this. Okay.
I didn't realize you. I thought, because, I mean, you're one of my friends on Facebook.
You can read Scott's stuff at debtnews.com.
And then Facebook.com/debtnewsdrive.
Okay. And at twitter.com/autocritic. And, yeah, your Facebook page, .com/debtnewsdrive. Jim Hall is the man with the plan at 2529-53 analytics in the bunker. You can visit my website at autoextremist.com or follow me at twitter.com/autoextremist. You can get my new book if you go to my website called Witch Hunt. You can follow Autoline on Twitter at twitter.com/autoline. Don't forget, you can also friend Autoline on Facebook to get all kinds of content throughout the week. You can find Autoline's page at facebook.com/AutolineDetroit. Thanks again to everyone out there joining us live, and I apologize for screwing up the end of the show. And I didn't get to all your questions, but, you know, we got to a lot of them, I think, today. So, Ben, now we're ready.
Visit our website, AutolineDetroit.tv, where you can watch us live Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, get your daily automotive news fix with Autoline Daily, and in-depth analysis and interviews with Autoline Detroit. That's all there, and much more, at AutolineDetroit.tv.
Autoline After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, passion for excellence. Chevrolet, the all-new Chevrolet Cruze. Get used to more. And by Dow Automotive Systems, innovations for clean powertrain solutions.
You get a pass on this one.
Well, it's that McElroy screwed everything up. He appears in space and hovers over us. How can we ever have a consistent train of thought?
We know he's here.
We know he's here. He's hovering somewhere.
It's actually going to be a black and